So welcome back to All About Symbian's brief look, looking back at Mobile World Congress 2009. This is the third of three podcasts. Rafe is still on the show floor, pacing up and down, wearing his shoes out, and probably working himself into a state of exhaustion for the sake of informing us, the viewers and the readers, on All About Symbian. So good luck to him. Hopefully we'll have him back at the end of the week, certainly by the start of next week, and we can debrief him in real detail. But in the meantime, you've got Ewan Spence, who should be there in Edinburgh.
Hello, yes. It's been an interesting MWC watching from afar, and we hope you're all enjoying these podcasts and joining us in the remote experience.
Yes, it's incredible, actually, what you can glean from a conference, even though you're in a different part of the world. With these days, there's so much video and indeed audio and pictures coming out of these events over the internet. It's almost like being there. And in some ways, it's certainly from my perspective, writing for All About Symbian, you can actually cover it better in many ways because there's a lot less pressure. And you haven't got people interrupting you and wanting meetings, and you haven't got to worry about being fed and where you're going to stay that night, etc. You can do it all from the comfort of your own office. So there are benefits to covering it remotely, and hopefully Ewan and I are doing a reasonable job. We've got some extra news stories for you today, and maybe we'll give you our overall opinions of the conference, the show so far. Ewan, do you want us to pick one of the stories and head off for us?
Yeah, head off. I shall go away because I know where I am sleeping. I want to start with the GSMA Awards that happened last night at the Mobile World Congress. This is almost the Oscars of the mobile world, hosted by comedian Michael McIntyre. So my first question is, guys, I was available. Why didn't you hire me? But some interesting winners. Nokia were probably off the bat quick enough because they had a press release announcing that they had won the CEO Environmental Award and for Nokia themselves. And Nokia Sports Tracker picked up the best mobile internet service. So congratulations go to them. There's a whole fleet of awards here. And we'll come back to that environmental stuff in the moment. I find it interesting that the best mobile handset out of all of this went to the INQ1 on 3, the Facebook social phone. The E71 getting a highly commended, at the same sort of level as also the T-Mobile G1. I love the fact that the sort of big hitters get it. Oh, yeah, you were fine as well, but we're going to go for the little guy over there.
Yes, having that, actually winning that sort of award, makes you rather devalue some of their other opinions, but we'll put that to one side for a moment.
And also, Nokia forgot to mention that they won the best mobile brand campaign for the Nokia Urbanista's Diary.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little bit niche, isn't it? There we go.
Yeah. To be honest, some of these are interesting decisions. I think that's the way you put them. Just looking down the list here, best mobile TV service went to Mobi TV. Okay, right then. Best mobile video service went to BBC iPlayer. I'm guessing they had going a difference between live and almost live there, I guess.
I will not have a bad word said about BBC iPlayer, so I'm glad that won something.
Well, I'll have a bad word said against BBC iPlayer. Are you ready for it?
Go on then.
They don't really go into the archive yet. It's still only live stuff. I don't want to say a bad word about iPlayer as well, because I know the sort of copyrights and legal stuff they're having to jump through. But one of the things that BBC have always wanted to do is start leveraging their large archive of natural world, natural history stuff. And they still haven't got permission to do that, again, because of the legal stuff. Where I want them to go next is that massive archive of programmes and the stuff that they can broadcast out. I mean, all the things like Natural Earth with David Attenborough. Really looking forward to seeing them. And the fact that I can download all these stuff onto my mobile phone to get ready for a 2.5-week trip around America, I think is fantastic.
Any more interesting winners on that list?
Let's see, what do we have? Best mobile game went to Gameloft's Real Football 2009. So I've got to track down a copy now and find out what's so good about that as opposed to anything on the N-Gage, but there you go. Best mobile technology breakthrough. Any guesses, Steve?
Oh, that's got to be me messing around in Python to produce Hello World, isn't it?
Nope, try again.
I don't know, go on.
The BlackBerry Storm's SurePress screen.
What? that's the worst bit about the BlackBerry Storm.
Well, that one, best mobile technology breakthrough.
Well, I would say that's its biggest design defect.
I suspect that the voting panel didn't see the word through and just saw best mobile technology broke. but there we go. Congratulations to all winners. Steve and I are having a joke at some of the winners, but once you get to these award ceremonies, your nomination is very hard to get through, and then it becomes a little bit of a lottery. But what I did want to touch back on there was Nokia's Environmental Award, which has been done for a variety of initiatives that Nokia have done, including pioneering their recycling centres, both in Nokia offices and Nokia stores around the world as well. It's all very nice, and I know there's a positive impact, but we've talked before about things like leaving chargers and cables out of the boxes and dressing it up in green clothing, where it seems to be more that that's a way to sort of save money in a recession. But Nokia genuinely are doing something for the environment here, Steve, aren't they? Do reassure me here.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all very minor things, but they do add up. And when someone like Nokia, who sell something in the order of getting on for a billion phones a year of all shapes and sizes, when there are those sorts of numbers involved, saving a few milliamps here and there can add up to an awful lot. So when Nokia speaks on issues like energy conservation and ecological factors and environmental programs, I think people are right to listen, because the numbers are so huge.
And speaking of saving little bits of milliamps on chargers, big announcement yesterday was every phone is now going to have exactly the same charger.
Yeah, I've got that story.
Kind of. there's a loophole here, as always, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm sure there are. And there are some companies which haven't signed up to the GSMA agreement, their plan. Apple and HTC are the two obvious exceptions. But HTC, I think you can already charge through mini USB. So the planned convergence of everyone charging via micro USB, I'm sure that'll be a no-brainer for HTC to follow by 2012. Whether Apple go down that road as well is another matter. Apple, all we tend to do things their own way, for better or for worse. But most of us have a fairly standard charging arrangement. I mean, I've got some Nokia phones, and I've got a couple of Windows Mobile test phones, and most things will, in fact, almost everything I've got will charge from either a Nokia 2mm charging jack, or micro USB, or with an adapter mini USB. So there's not that much variation. But looking across the whole phone spectrum, all manufacturers, all models, then you get into a much, much wider ball game. Things like the Sony Ericsson connections are completely their own proprietary. Samsung's completely proprietary. So I could, if you actually allow all these manufacturers into the full gamut, I mean, we're talking something like 7 or 8 different charging connectors. So yes, it would be wonderful having all of this standardizing on micro USB. And I should emphasize, this is not micro USB charging, trickle charging from laptops. This is simply using the micro USB connector as the standard connector, so that you can have micro USB going off to a mains plug, or micro USB going off to a USB connector to go into a laptop charging, or even into a portable charge. Like, I'm a very big fan of these ProPorter mobile chargers, which basically connect anything to charge anything, and they all use USB and mini USB and micro USB as the standard way of getting electrons around. So I think this is a great initiative, and I'm looking forward to it happening. It won't affect me directly because I'm already fairly standardized, but across the whole world, across all these different phones and manufacturers, I think it'll make a big difference.
And I think in Apple's defense, it's fair to say, one, that they're not based in Europe, so any European parliamentary regulations aren't going to really apply to them too much. But they've been using their proprietary dock connector now for almost 10 years, and it's scheduled to go on for at least another 5. So in a sense, them changing would hurt the environment even more. I think... And I do think the press release said it was hoping to get the majority of major manufacturers. So there's at least 2 out clauses in that phrase there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right then. Messaging as well. Let's move away from hardware and into software just for a moment. Nokia have done a little bit of updating themselves, haven't they?
Yes, they've right in the middle of Mobile World Congress, Nokia Messaging got itself an upgrade. I think this is less to do with the fact that it's an MWC announcement, and more the fact that I think Yahoo broke something. I'm not a Yahoo Mail user. From what I gather, Yahoo changed something on their servers, and Nokia Messaging has basically been locked out in its current form. So Nokia have now patched in a sort of a panic patch to rewrite parts of messaging so that it now works with Yahoo Mail again, which is quite a large webmail system across the world after all. And they've also thrown in a few extra updates along the way and put in the better support for the new boys on the block, the Nokia E55 and E75. So Nokia messaging is going through a fairly active upgrade cycle at the moment. They're producing updates every couple of weeks. I think this will carry on for at least another couple of months until it's fully mature and rolled out across all devices.
What do you think? I mean, you have all this going on, and again, we've had this question before, but how do you make sure that the users get these software changes? Apple kind of have it here with everybody is routed through iPhone and iTunes, which automatically gets a connection to Gumhub. You can't be guaranteed on that with any of the Nokia devices now, can you?
I think we're still in the stage where those that get Nokia messaging as part of firmware or as part of the device they buy, so that's the latest Series 40 devices and the very latest S60 devices, especially in the E-series range, they come with it in firmware. So, of course, over-the-air firmware upgrades, they bring new versions of it with it. Those people who is like Rafe and like perhaps yourself, people who are using Nokia messaging as a geek trying it out, then it's assumed that you being a geek will keep in touch on your RSS feeds and you'll notice the upgrades and apply them. And of course, there's also the fact that people will carry on using them until such time as it stops working because something breaks at the server end and they, oh, I wonder how I get around this. They do the research and they think, oh, yes, there's a new version available, and they try it and it works. So this is very, very early days. Until this Nokia messaging is in every device's firmware and therefore can be upgraded in the same way, I think it's kind of a geeky thing, but I don't think the geeks will have any problem with the upgrade process. Oh, I just spotted something in our back channel. You'd like to talk about TruePhone. I know nothing about it, so fire away.
TruePhone, very loud and very good at self-promotion on the VoIP front, but again, a very successful company, announced their latest product at MWC yesterday, namely, it's a new local anywhere travel sim. Plop this into any, we're presuming, unlocked phone, and you'll be able to make calls around the world for the price of a local call. Now, I like services like that, especially when I travel, and also the fact that they're promising to have data included in here as well. That's a big thing. It's very easy to find SIM cards and calling cards to go into your mobile for when you travel. In fact, it's relatively easy to pick up a pay-as-you-go mobile number as well when you visit places like America, for example. But having these cards means that you can have a fixed number, and if you do a lot of traveling, you can have one number, and it doesn't matter where you roam in the world. Essentially, you're always buying local or perhaps national minutes on these calling cards. Now, what TruePhone are bringing to the table, it's kind of hard to see where their difference is. It's very similar to services such as Matchroam from Ireland that I've talked before, but obviously they've got a large user base from their VoIP activities, and I suspect they're hoping for a lot of cross pollution to bring over the people from the VoIP side into the calling card and SIM-based calling, and also to bring people who are buying these SIM cards maybe start considering using VoIP on their home computers or laptops while they're mobile as well. It's an interesting place to jump into because it is a diversification. It's moving away from their core products. I just wonder what's going to happen with that. I think it's a case of they just felt the need to do something because these MVNOs are relatively easy to set up. Their blog post doesn't have a huge amount of business case of why they're doing it. So maybe that's one to ask them next time one of the three of us corners them and has the chat that we're always likely to have with Geraldine and her team over there. Now, one of the things that we said yesterday and the day before is, where is Android? Where is Google and the smartphone? And while I was away getting my teeth extracted this morning, hence I'm a little bit under the weather, Steve, you were watching the delightful announcements and video going around the internet of the T-Mobile G2, which is not going to be the G2, I understand.
Well, if I've understood this right, T-Mobile had the exclusive on the first Google phone, hence the G1, G for Google. Vodafone have stepped in and have got the exclusive on the second mainstream Google smartphone. And they're not quite so keen on Google getting the glory this time. And indeed, HTC, who actually make the device, they made the G1 as well, but didn't want to push their branding too much. They're pushing themselves a lot more this time. So we have the Vodafone HTC Magic, all three words. So Vodafone getting their Vodafone getting their branding in, HTC getting their brand in, and the unit is called the Magic. So no G, no Google, but it is effectively the second mainstream Google phone. It's all touchscreen device, so no QWERTY keyboard this time, which is just as well because the QWERTY keyboard on the G1 was absolute rubbish. And so certainly the swing out mechanism was rubbish. This is all touchscreen, so very much a sort of iPhone stroke PDA like. It's 3-megapixel camera, 3.2-inch touchscreen. I'm assuming it's capacitive again. That was one of the best bits about the G1 was the capacitive screen, which worked just as well as on the iPhone for really sensitive touch access. And it's exclusive to Vodafone, certainly in the UK. I don't know about other countries. I'm sure that will be announced in other countries as we go on. But that looks pretty good.
Don't you mean it's exclusive to T-Mobile?
No, this is a Vodafone.
Ah, right then. I thought Vodafone were getting the Palm Pre, though. Because there's been rumours of that floating around as well.
They're getting this as well. Well, actually, the Palm Pre one was more a rumour because someone happened to spot an unlocked Palm Pre with a Vodafone SIM in it. But all that really proves is that it was unlocked and it could work on any network. I don't think they've actually announced that. Where this is actually a pucker announcement. You can go onto Vodafone shop right now, because I am right now on their Vodafone shop. And there you are. You can pre-order the Vodafone HTC Magic arriving in April. So there we are. So that's the second mainstream Google Android phone. I have to say, Android across the board, if you wonder what it was announced about 18 months ago, was it? People thought this is going to change the world. It's going to take over the mobile world. It certainly hasn't taken over the mobile world.
Like it season hasn't. Two of Heroes, isn't it? We're going to change the world. We kind of run out of steam now. Lord, now.
But it certainly changed the ball game in a way, in that the arrival of Android, I think, was one of the main things that really gave Symbian a kick up the bottom to get there and move on with transforming to an open source platform themselves. So the iPhone has this huge effect in terms of form factor and user interface across the mobile world. Android's effect was to make everything had to suddenly go in the direction of being open. And I noticed very interestingly, Rafe was being interviewed on video by the MIR team yesterday, and they said, sum up in one word what this show is all about, MWC 2009, and he said openness. And I think that's very much the way in which people are going: open services, open protocols, open APIs, and trying to figure out basically how to make money out of things which revolve around open services. I'm sure it's possible. It just means people changing their visions, if you like.
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting show. I mean, it's coming to an end at Barcelona, and we're coming to an end here, or in other words, the painkillers are wearing off for me. I expected more from Palm. I really thought that we would see... I mean, obviously we're going to hear Rafe coming back, and we might hear that they've been giving out free chocolate bars to every single person on the shop floor, and everybody loves them. But to me, it seems that, you know, Apple ignore this thing. That's fine. That's what Apple do. Google have been the late runners. Nokia ran nice. Windows Mobile ran perfectly. Didn't really see anything from RIM, but I kind of didn't expect anything. But I did expect Palm to do something here.
Yeah, I think Palm was certainly there in a reasonable size stand showing off the Pre, but because they'd launched it a month or so ago, that all the newness of it all had already been covered in great depth around the internet. I think people thought, well, we can't duplicate what we've already done. And Palm obviously stretched to the limit in producing the Pre, not to mention battling off hordes of lawyers from Apple who are bashing on their front door. But they obviously stretched the limit with just the one model, and they haven't got any more news. Everyone I've spoken to is still of the opinion that WebOS is some of the innovations that Palm have put into the interface and have put into the Pre are certainly well worth standing up and taking notice of. I was watching one of the demo videos from a couple of days ago, and just watching the way the, for example, the calendar screen, there was a collapsed, typical sort of collapsed calendar showing 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and then you were free until 2 p.m., so that the time slots were collapsed. But if you tap on that collapsed area, it expands on screen, and you can tap it to toggle that behavior. And all sorts of little touches like that, which is just strokes of genius, which, of course, was what Palm are good at ever since 1995 when they introduced the first Palm Pilot. Jeff Hawkins had something of a genius in terms of usability and interface, and they keep bringing those touches of genius to some of their handsets over the years. They've got many other things wrong, but there's still some sparks of life there, I think, sparks of genius at Palm, and I don't think the Pre is finished yet.
There we go. And do you take away openness from the conference as well?
I think that's more Rafe's field. I tend to think more in terms of devices and what excites me and what doesn't excite me. Nokia had a very so-so MWC. I have to say, not disappointed would be that too strong a word.
Wasn't very focused, was it? You'd think that you would want, when you have all the people in one room, all the world's press, you'd tell them about your best phone rather than, oh, we left it in a press release. We'll tell you tomorrow, but we're not going to tell you. We're going to tell you tomorrow till tomorrow, even though it's in your diaries.
Yeah, I think that was just a complete cock up from all points of view, and I'm sure someone's head will roll for A, making the wrong call about when to announce the N86 8MP, and also the fact that it got leaked by Nokia themselves a full day early. I mean, that was just a crazy situation. But the devices are out in the open. Nokia obviously felt very strongly about their 2E series devices, both of which are incremental improvements, but very, very well built, as the E series tend to be, with lots of metal. It's something that will last your lifetime. The N86 8 megapixel, judgment's still out on that. I've heard an awful lot of feedback now since yesterday's podcast from people saying, like me, that they're a tiny bit disappointed. It's great to have the extra resolution and the better optics, but the Xenon flash had to be there. That was the killer feature of the N82 and Nokia's flagship imaging phone. To miss that bit out just seems to kind of miss the point of a flagship imaging phone. Samsung have now got, they've got at least one or two S60 devices with Xenon flash. I've got one of them sitting next to me, the G810, which is a bit long in the tooth now, but it shows it can be done. And several other manufacturers out there with feature phones have got 8 megapixels, all with Xenon. So S60 is, where an S60 phone used to be an absolute flagship technologically, you think back to the days when the N95 was launched, it was the best in every conceivable area. It was the best at best imaging, best at connectivity, best in terms of memory and performance and music. And we've now got to the stage where there are feature phones with non-smartphones are leapfrogging over some of the smartphones in terms of features. So I guess it all comes down, in that case, down to services and openness and compatibility and applications, which is much harder for someone like me who lusts after shiny things to differentiate between the different devices. That's partly one of the reasons why I changed the name of my own video podcast from the smartphone show to the phone show, because I could see this happening a year ago, that the whole playing field is becoming much more level, and there are an awful lot more factors to consider than simply whether it runs a smartphone OS or whether it suddenly has a video camera or a video player.
I mean, we could go into all these discussions on themes and direction for all the companies coming out of MWC, but really, we need Rafe back for that, don't we?
we certainly do. I think it's after three podcasts worth of waffling from the two of us, I think it's painfully obvious that when we need waffle, we need quality waffle, and for that, we need Rafe Blandford. So wherever you are, Rafe, we need you back soon.
Rafe, come home! But until he does come home, it's myself, Ewan Spence. Thank you very much for listening to the MWC series of podcasts that Steve and I have put together. Steve, thank you for doing it a little bit different this week.
I've really enjoyed it, actually, and I shall be raring to go with the full three of us next week, I hope.
Lovely. Your feedback as a listener is always appreciated. You can leave comments back at www.allaboutsymbian.com on the news post that has the podcast, or in the podcast section as well, which is media.allaboutsymbian.com. Alternatively, you can email us info or editor, webmaster, or the big chief at allaboutsymbian.com. We'll get an email over to Rafe. But from myself, Ewan Spence, and from Steve Litchfield, thank you for listening.